Again, good morning. Thank you for being here. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter. We are looking at the expectations for the church. We have the expectation to grow. We have the expectation to serve. And today, I want to bring up the expectation of giving. John chapter 6, John recorded this good news account that we may have life and know Christ. Shortly after his ministry began, crowds flocked to him because he taught as one with authority. And they're hearing a new message with a revelation that comes from God himself. And so we find ourselves in chapter 6, this great multitude. We want to start in verse number 1, so follow along if you're able. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. We want to talk about giving. Money can be a touchy subject. But for many of us, it's a necessity we need to bring up. Years ago, a pastor search team interviewed me, and one of the first questions they brought up, "How soon will you preach about tithing?" And I said, "Probably not as soon as you'd like me to." It didn't work out with that church, by the way. We were on different pages. And some of you have already checked out mentally saying, "I don't want to hear what the pastor has to say, because I know the message, and God wants me to give money." No, God wants a lot more than that. He wants you. He wants you in totality. He wants you to surrender. My God wants more than your money. He wants you. He wants you to know him. He wants you to trust him. And listen, beloved, he wants you to surrender. I mean, that's the picture of giving. Now, I know I preached this text or this account from the Gospel of Matthew, about a year ago on Mission Sunday. I preached it that way, but I'm going to preach it in a different light today. Let's go back to verse number 5, and then we'll get into the points about giving. Verse number 5. Lifting up his eyes then, and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" First, I want to show you, I want to frame the issue of giving. This is not a classic giving text. Many would go to the widow's mites or other aspects of Jesus' teaching, but I want to preach this through giving. Now, the fame of Jesus had spread. A multitude finds him in a remote place in the district of Galilee. This is a very poor area. There's not much going on other than fishing. In fact, that's where most of the disciples, the apostles, came from. This multitude flocks to Christ. Now, what John leaves out, Matthew and Mark touch on, the disciples wanted to send the people away. They said, hey, they've come to a remote place. They're going to faint. Let's not worry about them. Jesus, send them away. But what does Jesus say? What are you guys going to do about this? Why don't you give them something to eat? They said, let's send them away. And in Matthew and Mark, they say, so that they can buy food. The purchase of food. Jesus says, they don't need to go purchase food. You need to give them something to eat. For a long time, and even last year, I viewed this as a missional text. The sermon I preached last year was all about us being on mission with Christ, us accompanying Jesus to reach the masses, the multitudes. If his hands touch it, then it's going to be blessed if we're a part of that. But I don't want to preach it missionally. I want to preach it financially. There's a different light. Now, there's multitudes of ways to preach a text, and this is a different way to illuminate the truth. He says to Philip, where are we to buy bread? In verse 7, 200 denarii is not enough to feed this group. It would just give them a sample. They said there's 5,000 men. That does not include women or kids. So a lowly estimate of the crowd size. 10,000 people. Can you imagine 10,000 people trying to get together and you're trying to feed them? Now, this week we're going to feed the football team, and that's enough to think about. Upper estimates of this crowd size is 20,000. So to put it in perspective for us, it's roughly the population of Neosho. Can you imagine trying to feed every crazy person in Neosho? Can you imagine the fanfare that would be? Verse 9, when they find this boy, they describe his lunch not in quality, but in quantity. Here's this boy, 5 loaves, 2 fish, but what is that for so many? Not quality, they're talking about the number. They're talking about financial terms. I mean, there's a lot in here, the number crunching. Can we buy this? Can we purchase this? What can we do? All of it's numbers. Quantitative terms, not quality. So before we say, let's get to the miracle, let's talk about money. Before we get to the fantastic, let's talk about finances, because there's a financial thread woven into this great miracle story of the feeding of the 5,000. So I want to frame the issue of giving, number one, back in the text, verses 6 and 7. He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread would not be enough for each of them to get a little. What I want you to see about giving, point number two, God does not need our gifts, but he calls us to give. Now, this is a paradoxical statement, I know that. And if you left it on the very first, say, Pastor, why do you have to add that clause on the end? God doesn't have to have us to give. God doesn't need our gifts. That would be great if that were the case, but he calls us to give. Jesus knew the situation in his infinite power and knowledge. God knew precisely what he was going to do, but he did this to test his followers in the process. Now, what we know about Jesus, all-knowing, all-powerful, he could have spoken food into existence. The very rocks of the remote area could become bread before them if Jesus just spoke the word, because he is the God-man. And he didn't do it. Come on, God. Why didn't you do that? He could have miraculously bypassed mankind to feed the multitude, but he chose not to. Now, even the devil in Luke chapter 4 knew Jesus had the power to turn stones to bread because he tempted him that way. Jesus, if you're hungry, turn those stones to bread. And Jesus in the Rogers translation said, not today, devil. God could use any means he wanted to. But he asked people to give. I'm reminded of this little story. There was a Christian lady who lived next door to an atheist. Every day when the lady prayed, the atheist could hear her prayers. He thought to himself, she sure is crazy. She's praying all the time. Doesn't she know there is no God? Now, many times while she was praying, he would go to her house and harass her, saying, lady, why do you pray all the time? Don't you know there is no God? But she kept on praying. One day, she ran out of groceries. As usual, she was praying to the Lord, explaining her situation and thanking him for what he was going to do. As usual, the atheist heard her prayers and thought to himself, I'll fix her. He went to the grocery store, bought a whole bunch of groceries, took them to her house, dropped them off on the front steps, rang the doorbell, then hid in the bushes to see what she would do. When she opened the door and saw the groceries, she began to praise the Lord with all of her heart, jumping, singing, and shouting everywhere. The atheist then jumped out of the bushes and said to her, you old crazy lady, God didn't buy you those groceries. I bought those groceries. And she broke out and started running down the street, shouting and praising the Lord. When he finally caught her, he asked her what her problem was. She said, I knew the Lord would provide me with some groceries, but I didn't know he was going to make the devil pay for them. God can use any means for his purpose. He doesn't need our gifts, but he wants them. God does not want you to give because of what you gain. He wants you to give not out of obligation, but based on opportunity, based on your heart. God loves when people give. We find ourselves the heart of Jesus saying, I can do anything I want to do, but here, guys, I'm going to include you. I love it when people give. Even the Apostle Paul said, you remember what Jesus said? It's more blessed to give. Jesus sends his disciples into the crowd. And they're thinking to themselves, who can give? What can they give? How much can they give? They're in the process of sorting through people. They're looking for possessions. They're looking for gifts. God doesn't need our gifts, but he calls us to give. In the text of chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Here's a, to me, one of the biggest points of this text, point number 3, giving is not bound by stature. One of the greatest acts of charity, in my estimation of all scripture, is in John 6, corresponding to the other gospel accounts, of course. The disciples go and work the crowd, and Andrew finds a young boy. I love the King James. I was raised on the King James translation. I don't spend much time in that now. I love the way the King James Version says, there is a lad here. That does not mean young man. That means he's a little boy. There's a young lad here with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. You say, man, that's a lot of food. No, it's not. Those are meager portions. You think 5 loaves of bread, we think of baguettes. No, these would be like roughly the size of crackers. These are small, like pita bread, smaller than street tacos. You say, what about those fish? They're keepers. No, those are more like sardines. I don't know about you, but I've tried sardines. I've tried to like sardines. I just can't. It's not God's will for my life. I don't know if anybody else got it working in your heart that way. Giving is not bound by stature. What I want you to see about this boy, there is no family associated with him. It's not like, hey, here's the family. They got a little kid. It's not anyone mentioned with family. It's not, he's not named. His father is not named. It's not like Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of John. No name, no fame. There's no communication from him. This boy says nothing we have record of. But here's what we do have record of. His gift. By his giving, he speaks. Of all the people, in the multitude of 5,000 men, you've got to tell me there's this little boy that's giving more than everybody else? I submit to you, his meager rations of lunch was not the biggest gift in the crowd. But there was a willingness. We don't have the specific age. We know based on the language, he is young. But what we know about giving, giving doesn't matter what your age is. Giving is not proportionate to the size of your physical condition. Giving is not based upon your socioeconomic level, because this boy breaks every component about giving. Because people say, well, if I had more in my account, then I'd give more. Don't talk to me about that. Look at this boy's lunch. He gave it. He gave every bit of it. And he needed it. The disciples asked for food, I suspect. They're in a remote place. I think they asked for food. They could have asked for money. They could have had a plan to go buy food. But God uses what is common. God uses what is cherished. God uses gifts according to his will. Now, I capture the heart of this because I love fish. You love fish, some of you. I mean, we're talking to friends this week about a fish fry. We had a good fish fry. We talk about eating. We love fish. Years ago, I was traveling to work on my seminary degree, and I had to go through West Memphis, Arkansas, which is not a place to stop. It's a great place to drive through. And there were two gas stations where I'd go by on Interstate 40. One was a very clean, very nice, very new Exxon station, but the problem, their gas cost 2 pennies more than the dumpy BP station next door. So you can guess where I would fuel up every time I had to. I mean, that place was nasty. One day, I was dressed business casual, which is unusual for that neighborhood. I was pumping gas, and I hear a voice that, hey man, you like fish? I mean, you gotta be tough. It's like, yeah, I like fish. Who are you kidding? I think he saw my Ford Ranger and knew this guy means business. You know? And then he says this, hey man, I got some fish I'll sell you right now. I said, okay. Now, I've had people approach our family with a freezer in the back of their vehicle, their truck, and say, hey, we want to sell you steaks. And so I'm like, okay. I was like, what you got? It was like a weird drug deal. He says, I've got some fillets I'll sell you for $5. I like fish. My family likes fish. I'd love to come home with fish for my family. I said, okay. And he popped open his trunk and he pulled out a baggie of fish. The issue, they were not in a cooler. Yeah, I don't know what, you don't know what to say at that point. You know, I got a reputation on the streets to uphold. I don't want to say no. And I'm about to say, I don't think my wife is in the mood for fish today, make up some bold-faced lie. And the guy next to us said, man, if he don't want that, I'll buy that right now. I said, hey, I'm not getting in the way of a man in a deal. Man, we love fish. We love, and people love fish, especially when it's free. And Jesus says, I'm going to take that fish. I've done a lot more with a lot less. And this young boy, I can't get over this guy. He steps up, steps out, and says, take it all. Everything that I needed for myself, I'm going to give it all away. Verses 10 and following of John 6. Jesus said, have the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed or gave them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, gather up the leftover fragments that nothing may be lost. So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. The fourth and final point about giving, God utilizes our gifts for his glory. In some peculiar fashion, God uses our gifts, what we give to him, for his glory. Jesus tells the people, sit down, get in groups. He receives this meager ration of food. He gives thanks. He then gives it to his disciples, who then give it to the crowd. Luke's gospel says that Jesus kept on giving thanks and kept on breaking them, just kept the process, kept on going, and the disciples are in awe. Everyone eats as much as they want. And then after they're all full, you know, 10 to 20,000 people, Jesus says, go get all the leftover fragments, bring them together, and let's see what's left. And there's 12 baskets full. That number is not missed by them. They see the number 12 and see the baskets and see the Son of Man standing before them, the one who fed them. I want to bring you back all of that because of one gift. The sorriest lunchable in the pages of Scripture is what Jesus used for his glory. It's so remarkable what one gift can do, the act of giving. It's so unique. Years ago, I gave blood at a Red Cross blood drive. You say, oh, that's nice, Pastor. You want to touch people's lives? I'm in it for the free shirts. I'm in it for the snacks afterwards. When the volunteers say, are you okay, sir? I'm like, I don't know. I think I need another apple juice. I'm in it for the stuff. And now they give away tickets to zoos and amusement parks, tickets to ball games. And so at that time, the Red Cross, where we were at, had a program where they would track your blood, where it's sent to. And I thought nothing of the deal when I gave. Weeks, a few months later, actually, I received a postcard, some correspondence from the Red Cross, and they said, your blood has been sent to Oklahoma to a rural hospital there. And they also said, it's been sent to Kansas to a kid's hospital. Now, at the time, I thought nothing of the locations, but thinking back this week, if you had told me years ago you would have given your blood and to go to places where you're very close to now, I would have said yes. I had no clue where they'd go to. We have no idea what happens when we give from our hearts to God. What he does, he takes simple acts of giving and he uses them for his glory. So church, guests, I want you to give as the Lord leads you to. I don't know what you give. I have no clue. I want you to give from your heart to God for his purpose. And I don't want to come across as saying, well, pastor says we got to give more. Church, you are giving fantastically. Man, I can't brag on you enough. But some of you may say, well, I've never given. I don't give. What should I do? Find a point and start. Start where you're at. Start small. If you got a small gift to give, give it. If you got a large gift, give it. If you need help, if you say, my finances are a mess, I don't know what to do. Pastor Aaron led our staff through a small financial class. It's very beneficial. If that's something that would benefit you in the future, talk to us about doing a class or talk to him. Or we have some other people that have gone through some Christian financial training that would love to walk with you and help you in that. I know money and finance can be touchy. I know that. But if you need help in that regard, man, reach out, talk to one of us on staff. We'd love to help you in that process. And you say, Pastor, why should I give? Because giving is at the very nature, the very core of our God. God knows what it's like to give. And it says that God gave his son. Now, we cannot match that gift, but we know the heart, the nature of God, is he is a giving God. We would all agree to this, that he is the giver of blessings. He's the giver of mercies. He gives us all these great things. And I'm going to ask you to give. Now, I'm not going to know what you give. It'll be between you and God. You see, when we see God for who he is, we just can't help but give. I'm not saying be reckless. I'm not saying it has to be a disciplined, rigid act. No, no, no. I want you to do it from your heart, with no name, no fame, just like this little boy. You say, well, I cannot give. Maybe it's due to the hardship of your heart. Maybe God, the Son, has never found a home. Maybe you've never made him Lord and Savior of your life. Maybe it just hasn't hit home yet. All you got to do to start the process of a new life in Christ is surrender. Give yourself to him. All of you. Say, I'm going to give everything I am to the God who gives everything. And surrender yourself in salvation to him. Maybe there's other steps you need to take, not just about giving, but baptism or membership. Or maybe there's something unrelated to giving completely, something's going on in your life and you want to pray about it. We have a time just before us that we can pray, that you can spend some alone time with God in the stillness of your heart. You don't have to make a public decision. Now, if you want to publicly pray and come up forward to some of us, we'd love to pray over you and with you. But whatever God is leading you to do, give it to him. Father, we thank you that you are a God who freely gives. And Father, may we be challenged by your text, by thinking about a little boy that gives. Of all the people that could have, you chose him. And Father, may we be enamored by you. May we give unto you. And may our gifts be used for the furthering of your kingdom. May be magnetized for your glory. And Father, if someone needs to make a decision today regarding salvation, putting Jesus in the throne of their hearts, may they do that. May they surrender in faith and repentance. Father, for decisions to be made, Lord, maybe someone today has an idol of money, or if they got a struggle with money or hardship, Father, may they find you today. May they give themselves to you. May you give them the peace that comes from your spirit. And Father, we know that true joy does not come from finances, but comes from our relationship with you. Father, would you bless us as we come to you? Father, we thank you for the faithful giving of members and guests. May we be good stewards of that to reach others with the gospel. May we lift high the name of Christ here. May we be found as good stewards. Father, bless us. We give this time to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.